from the odd beheading, to be a place of complete sensual fulfilment. Even delight itself was Turkish. Almost 50 years later, there came a chance to expose my childhood fantasies to the harsh glare of reality. In the first spring of the new millennium, I met up with Roger Mills, director of many of the travel programmes I've done, at a pub opposite Notting Hill Police Station. Over a pint or two, he suggested a journey through Francophone Africa, those huge and empty countries from Cameroon northwards, once loosely federated as part of the French Empire. Rarely visited by British television, they might provide fresh pickings and new discoveries. I got home, unfolded a map, and saw one word spread across most of these countries. Sahara. The French Empire was interesting, but it had come and gone. The Sahara is a potent, evocative reality. It's also one of the world's great brands. No one name so completely epitomizes an environment. Oceans can be Atlantic or Pacific or Indian. Mountains can be Himalayas or Andes or Alps. But if you want to convey desert, you only have to say Sahara. A self-contained, homogeneous, identifiable world, uncompromising and irreducible. In other words, a challenge, and by no means an easy one. As big as the United States, with a population the size of Norfolk, the Sahara is only 15% sand, and though the great ergs, the sand seas, are among the most exquisitely beautiful landscapes I've ever seen, there is a dark side. The Sahara is also a killer, scorching the life out of crops, people, and all but the most tenacious living creatures. It's growing larger every year as drought turns pasture back into sand. It has its share of war and conflict. Many areas we wanted to see were inaccessible because of minefields and military activity. Yet how close it is to us. The Sahara lies just beyond the borders of Europe. The heart of the desert is 3 hours flying time from Paris, 4 hours from London. This proximity is not lost on the many thousands of sub-Saharan Africans who cross the desert to escape what they see as poor, unstable and oppressive regimes back home. Today the Sahara, far from being a cosy date-box illusion, has become a bridge from Africa into Europe. If the Sahara was my fantasy, Europe is theirs. Perhaps they'll learn from their journey, as I did from mine, that fantasy and experience never quite match up. Sahara was filmed between February 2001 and February 2002. For various reasons, it was impossible to shoot it as one continuous journey. Summer heat and all-year-round bureaucracy forced a number of breaks upon us. The diary days represent days at work, give or take the very rare day off, and not time spent travelling out to the desert. Day 1, Gibraltar. Only 300 miles from the Sahara Desert, there is a place where brass bands play, warm beer is served, and a blue lamp marks the police station. This corner of a foreign land that seems forever England is a gnarled limestone rock, nearly 4 miles long and 1,400 feet high, tucked into Spain's lower regions like a troublesome prostate, dominating the dozen miles of ocean that separate Europe from Africa. For the Berber chief, Tariq ibn Zayad, who first settled on the rock 13 centuries ago, it held the promise of escape from the hostile Sahara and a stepping stone to the rich underbelly of Europe. It became known as Jebel al-Tariq, Tariq's Mountain, which, eroded down to the single word Gibraltar, it has remained ever since. The Britishness of Gibraltar, which began with Admiral Rooke's invasion in 1704, is well entrenched. Contemplating my map of North Africa outside Pickwick's pub, I order a coffee. No messing with latte or macchiato here. Cup or mug? I'm asked in a thick Geordie accent. I choose cup. Cars are squeezed into pleasant shady squares beside me. Buildings are squeezed around the cars. An attractive colonial house with deep balconies and freshly painted wrought iron railings on one side, the handsome Georgian facade of the Garrison Library on the other. And next to it, the offices of the Gibraltar Chronicle, the veteran local newspaper which broke the news of Nelson's victory at Trafalgar. For me, a first-timer in Gibraltar, there have already been surprises. First of all, that there are buildings of quality which are not just selling duty-free